Theologian Reinhold Niebuhr, he lived 1892 to 1971, so it was early 19th century. In his book, The Meaning of Revelation probes the difference between history as lived and experienced and history as observed by an external spectator. Okay? History is constantly being made each and every day, he says, in our lives. You know, we're making history today. The Christian church exists in the real world. But how do we discern between the eternal reality of the world and the inner revelation that the faithful community needs to follow God's covenant? In short, every experience, every life, every Bible passage has two dimensions, as you know, the external and the internal. Or he explains it as the landscape and the inscape. Okay? The external are the facts of what happened. You know, the facts, like the scripture was read about the Emmaus Road, the walk, about the two disciples. The inscape is the faith and truth of that story. What happened? The heartwarming experience. Do you understand that? I'm sure you get the inscape and the landscape. So the landscape is something that we see. It's an outward, it's visible. The inscape is something inside. When you apply, it comes real. I believe that this is exactly what is happening in our lives and our experiences, just like these two disciples experienced on the walk to Emmaus. For those two disciples, an external act had happened in the world. It was an external historical act, you know, Jesus went to the cross. Yes, they witnessed that. And now, as they walk to Emmaus, they're experiencing something different. They're experiencing the resurrected Lord. They heard that he was risen. If it was today, it'll be in the news, headlines. He's risen. But they experienced the risen Lord. Here are those two followers. One is named and one of them is not named. They were most likely going home after all their hopes and dreams were shattered. Though they heard about the resurrection, they're still in grief. The scripture says they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside with them. Jesus comes and just walks with them. They were talking so much and didn't even recognize that Jesus had joined them. And suddenly they, I guess, like, oh, here's a third person. I mean, today we would have said, hey, what are you doing listening to our conversation? They were polite. They didn't jump to say that. They walked along. In verse 17 it says, and he said to them, what is this conversation which you are holding with each other? And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them said, who was Cleophas, said, Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened and taken place? And he said to them, what things? And they explained it to him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. The story clearly teaches us that God is not somewhere far away. God is walking with us. God is in communication with each one of us. You know, we always look at the landscape. We always look at that and say, yeah, you know, great. Great history. Beautiful to see. Yes, there was a Jesus. And it is written that he died, yes. And then some believe that he rose again. Then Jesus walks with them, the inscape. Do we experience that walk? Do we experience that walk? Or is he just a historical Jesus? Proven that, yes, he did live from this time to this time. Does that Jesus have a relationship? Does this God, God Almighty, have a relationship with you and me? Do we experience that? So here it is, these two disciples, just like you and I, they're just walking, they're saddened. And then Jesus joins in, just like you and I walk around, go about our daily duties through the week, struggles, difficulties, anger, frustration, I mean, you name it. Too much to do. Your list gets longer and you wonder, how am I going to pack in the next 2 weeks when the truck pulls in? I told Rebecca, I said, we'll just have to get the boxes, just throw everything in, including ourselves. And we forget. We forget that we have a God who walks with us. Who walks with us? You know, we always fail to see that part, don't we? That he walks with us. How did these two experience this walk? They say to each other, our hearts were warming. You know, again, I remember John Wesley's phrase, my heart was warmed. Our hearts were burning. That's what the scripture says, the burning. They knew that there was something, but couldn't put their fingers on it. Their hearts were burning. And think about that. You know, as a church, we come Sundays, we go, we come Sundays, we go, we do things. You know, it just becomes a routine. Just becomes a routine, a landscape. A landscape. But do we see the inscape? Do we see the inner part of this whole faith journey? The inscape that Niebuhr talks about is that experience. That experience that they had as they walked that day. It was after a while, so they have this heartwarming thing, and they don't know what to do with it. Well, kind of feels different, something. They still don't put it together. And we do that too. We sometimes have some experiences, but we cannot put it together because it doesn't click. The time might not be right. But then they approach a place, they come to their homes and they say, okay, here's our place. You know, they're kind of walking towards the driveway, the gate. And this other person continues to walk, you know, because he joined them and now he's continuing to walk. And they look around and go, would you want to come with us? Would you want to come? It's getting dark. Come and stay with us. Spend the night. Hospitality. They invite him. Come. They don't say, let me go and clean house. Let me go cook some food before I invite this guest. But right away, you know, come on in. Come on in. Spend the night with us. And do you see how this adds up? When they sit at the table, whatever was there, of course there is bread. We hear about the bread. And when Jesus takes the bread, and when Jesus breaks that bread to share, suddenly they realize their eyes were open. They knew, this is the Lord. This is Jesus. When he broke bread, their eyes were open. My friends, I chose this scripture. I mean, this is not Easter or the day after Easter, but it is a very special scripture to me, and I wanted to share as I conclude my time here with you. When Jesus took the bread, and today as we come together, as we take part in the Lord's Supper, as we break bread, may our eyes be open. We might have walked through the journey. We might have come in our faith journey all these years, experiences, frustrations. We cannot put two and two together yet. We don't know why things are happening this way, or all those questions, things are not going well. But finally, when you sit in front of Jesus, when you sit down for a meal, and when he breaks the bread, your eyes are open. You see those things that were not right or didn't understand come together. Your questions are answered. And you know God's will. You know what God has been talking to you, calling you to go on a mission trip. We saw all those of you who came up and said, yes, we're going. God spoke to me, yeah. I mean, God is speaking to all of us in so many different ways. And the second part of the scripture when we read about in 1 Corinthians, the body of Christ, and that's who you are, that's who we are, the body of Christ. The other day, someone came up to me and said, well, we're going to miss you. No, thank you. I know we're going to miss you and you're going to miss us, yes. And they said, you know, you've done, I said, it's been such short 4 years. And this person responded and saying, well, you've done a lot. you've done a lot for us. And I quickly responded, I don't know if I said that to this person or not, but I said, it is all of us together. It's not just me. It's all of you. We together, the body of Christ. We together did whatever we did. Whatever God told us, whatever He spoke to us, we responded. When our hearts were warmed, we didn't just keep it to ourselves. Maybe our hearts were warmed, and when we came to communion, breaking bread, it came real. Jesus spoke to us. He said so many different things to you to do certain things that we have done together. And you know what? That could continue. That will continue because we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. You know, Pastor Kevin will come and lead you. And again, it is this whole body, this whole body. You know, that whole scripture, go home and read that. You know, how each, Paul talks about the body. You know, it was so great to see Sunday school, the children take part, all the different age groups. We are the body of Christ. We're not a single, just a hand or just a foot. We are a body. And my friends, be blessed to know that we are the body of Christ. And God would lead us as a whole unit when He is the center. And that is Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Christ is the head of this body. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything He might have superiority. Christ is the head. We are His body. He didn't appoint us as the head, did He? No. We're not the head. He is the head. Christ is the head. We are the body. So when He is in the center, when He rules, when He guides us, when He makes our hearts warm, we will know. We will know what to do as a body of Christ. So may the Lord bless us. May the Lord bless us. You know, when our hearts get warmed, as we come together for fellowship, hospitality, when we break bread in that fellowship, God will speak to us. He will open our eyes. So when we go, we can go just like those two disciples went. They ran back to Jerusalem and they told the rest of the disciples what they had seen, so that you can go and share with the rest of those who are outside these walls what God is doing in your lives. May the Lord bless us this morning as we break bread. As we break bread, may His presence be known. May His Holy Spirit kindle that spirit within us, that we will see. We will see that He walks with us.